Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Nice, crisp, cold morning. If you could take your seats and take out your Bibles, and we are in a Christmas series, and so we are in John, and you guys don't know this passage, I'm sure. We're going to look at John 3:16. You guessed it. You guessed it. John 3:16. You might have heard it before. Hopefully many of you know it by heart. John 3:16. And let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the privilege that we enjoy to gather into this place in this busy season to spend time with you, Lord, the reason for the season, to, Lord, focus in on what the purpose and the plan and express the appreciation for your grace and your goodness in our lives. Lord, we love you, and truly, Lord, the greatest gift that has ever been given is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us, Lord, and what that means not only presently but for our eternal destiny, Lord. And we are thankful for your grace and for your mercy on us. We are thankful, Lord, that you've called us and chosen us. And we are looking forward, Lord, to what you are going to do in us and through us as your Spirit continues to transform us and make us more like Jesus. And so to that end, Lord, we pray today that as we open your word, that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say. And Lord, I pray again, if there's anyone who has come today, who has not opened this greatest gift, Lord, I pray today that they might be convicted, and Lord, that you might draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are definitely in one of my favorite times of the year. I love Christmas. I love the lights. I love the trees. I love the songs. Except for I'm getting tired of hearing the secular songs. And have you noticed? I've noticed that I have Sirius XM radio, and so they have three channels that play Christmas music. And the Holiday Traditions channel is the one I tend to listen to, because on the other two channels, sadly, tragically, rarely do they mention at all anything to do with what Christmas is all about when it comes to the birth of a Savior. They have kind of pushed it all off on this kind of romantic crackling fire and family and home, and I'm all down with that. But the reason for all that is Jesus Christ. You see, and they push that away. The greatest gift that God has ever given. And one of the songs, though, that I listen to that I like, among many, there are many that I love about Christmas. And I did a series a couple years ago on the songs of Christmas. I almost did it again, but I thought, no, I'll keep it moving ahead there. But because I just love the music, I love the choir stuff, because I was in choir in high school and all, we sang all those songs. We sang the Messiah and the entire thing with the Redland Symphony Orchestra, San Bernardino Valley College Concert Choir. I was there at the Redlands Bowl when they did it. I was singing in it. And it was just, if you've never listened to Handel's Messiah, man, listen to the scripture and the Christmas story put to words, music rather. It's an awesome piece of music. It's classical, so I'll just warn you, for those of you younger people that go, violins, choirs, humbug. If you listen to the words, it's an amazing piece of music. Of course, you know the Hallelujah chorus is from it. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a child is born. That is from it. So many great songs from Handel's Messiah. But one that is kind of sentimental and kind of family is written by someone that you know. Her name is Amy Grant, and it's called Grown Up Christmas List. You ever heard that song? And she's kind of talking. Do you remember me? I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasies. But I'm all grown up now, but still need help somehow. I'm not a child, but still my heart can dream. So here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list. Not for myself, but for a world in need. And then she goes on, no more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. What a great Christmas list. What a great prayer. But did you know that, well, I'm sure that most of you by now, there are some things that Christmas requires in America. Most of us have a tree by now, or we're going to be getting one maybe in a couple of days. And we decorate that tree. Most of us have gifts that we've purchased for certain people by now. You've purchased a few anyhow. I know some of you are like me. You're not done, but maybe you've got at least a couple. And of course, in order to keep everything in order in such a crazy time and a busy time, most of you probably have, if you don't, I suggest you get busy, a Christmas list. Right? A Christmas list. That just the things, the people that you want to buy gifts for, and then maybe even some of you have gone on and put a little hyphen after their name or names, and then you put a few ideas that you have and are out looking for the best deal on, or are online at Amazon, you know, typing away, trying to find those things. Well, did you know that God has a Christmas list? He has a Christmas list. And you know what the good news is? You're on it. I'm on it. He made up the first Christmas list, gave us the first Christmas tree, and He gave us the greatest Christmas gift, of course, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's what this passage is all about. You see, when I was young, and that's why I read Grown Up Christmas List, there was only one person on my Christmas list, and that person was me. How many of you remember that? Little kid, and I want, and I had all the things. I was on that list. That list was all about me, you see, and so it was a very short list. It was just Dennis and what Dennis wants. But as you get older, hopefully, then that all changes, you see, and you begin to look around you, and eventually, hopefully, as time progresses and you grow, especially as a believer and mature, you see, your name comes off that list, and you're busy thinking about others more than yourself. You see, here as we get ready for Christmas, this verse here in the Bible tells us about God's Christmas list and who is on it. And it says here in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 25 words in that verse. The middle word in that verse, the 13th word, is Son. That Son, of course, that was given refers to Jesus Christ. We looked last time together at His deity and who He was, in fact, God in the flesh, the Creator. Today, we look at how that applies to me, what that has to do with you and me personally. You see, the last 12 words, the first 12 words are about God. The last 12 words in that verse are about us. And what we have here in this text, in a nutshell, really is the message of Christmas. Both this Christmas verse and the Christmas season that we are in presently reminds us of three things that we should never forget. So, if you want to go to sleep, when I say it, number three, the third thing, it's time to wake up. That means I'm starting to land the plane. Okay? So I know you've had a busy week and you're maybe tired, so I'll allow for that. But just don't snore. If you go to sleep, don't snore. Okay? It's embarrassing to you and troublesome to me. But the first thing we note, number one, is guess what? I'm on, you're on, as I've already said, God's list. You're on that. For God so loved the world. You know what that means? If you are on planet Earth right now, if you are living and breathing in this world presently, guess who it was? You're on His list. Because God so loved the world. That means that God loves you, that God loves me. But it also means that beyond loving you and me, because perhaps some of you may have the attitude that, well, of course He loves me. You know how good I am? Do you know how amazingly spiritual I am and how many Bible verses I can quote backwards and forwards and how many times I'm at church at any given week? How can He help but love me? But listen, God loves not only you who are believers today, but God loves those who perhaps you find it hard to love, who are heathens and caught up in all kinds of sins and struggles and battles, and maybe even express a bit of hostility towards you. He loves them. And sometimes that may tick you off. He needs to get them, not love them. Why is He blessing them and being nice to them? I'll tell you, God, here's what you need to do with this person. Listen, God loves the world. There's nobody in this world that God does not love. His love is unconditional. If Christmas tells us anything, it tells us that people on planet Earth, they matter to God. You hear the phrases, Black Lives Matter, and Police Lives Matter. What? All lives matter when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to our Creator, when it comes to God. The only thing that has to be true of you for God to love you is that you are alive and breathing and walking on planet Earth presently. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you've turned your back on God, how many times you've walked away from God, how many times you've disobeyed God, how many times you denied God or forsook Him. God loves you. Because, listen, 1 John, you can write it down, verse 16. The simplest phrase, God is love. God is love. You see, now, it doesn't say that God loves, it says God is love. The reason that you and I are alive, the reason that you and I have a heart that is beating presently, that your lungs are breathing right now, is because God is gracious to you. And the reason God is gracious to you is because He loves you and He has proven that love to you. In verse of chapter 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, God showed how much He loved us by sending His only Son, this is a New Living Translation, into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God doesn't just say He loves you. He has demonstrated that by sending His Son. I heard a story about a guy who would always tell his girlfriend, he said, "Baby, I'd die for you." One time she said, "You're always saying it, but you never do it." You see, God didn't just say He loves you. He has shown that love. And He loves you because He is love. He loves you just because you're in the world, you see. There's no conditions to God's love. He doesn't love you because you're good. Okay? He doesn't love you because you deserve God's love. He doesn't love you because you love Him back. In fact, while we were yet sinners, Christ displayed His love in that He died for us. You see, God loves the world. It's not a national love. He doesn't love one nation more than another. It's not a political love. He doesn't love Republicans and not like Democrats. And doesn't, you know, He goes, "Oh, the Democrats, I don't like them." You see, it's not a racial love. No matter what race you are, no matter your background, you see, in your neighborhood, God loves you. It's not a financial love. He loves the poor just as much as He loves the rich. It's not a physical love. He loves those with disabilities as well as those who are athletic and able-bodied, you see. It's not an intellectual love. He loves the one that doesn't have much gray matter and maybe had some problems, you see, with mentally. He loves them just as much as He loves those who have a degree from Yale. He loves you. He loves me. We are on His personal Christmas list. There's a mother of seven who was asked how she divided her love among so many children, to which she replied, "You don't divide, you multiply." That's what God does with us. He has multiplied His love to every person on the planet. And every Christmas is a reminder that you are on God's personal list. But that ought to remind us of something else. Secondly, not only are you and me on His list, but God keeps me. You see, He put me on His list, and I'm in His love. I am kept in His love. You see, for God so loved the world. Listen, there's a big difference between the love that God has for us and the love that we have for God, or even the love we have for one another. Over and over in God's Word, we are commanded to love. To love who? Our neighbor. To love our spouses. To love one another, and to love God. For us, love is an act of the will. You don't have to command, however, God to love anybody. He commands us. But we don't have to command Him. In fact, you couldn't command God to love, even if you wanted to. But the good news is we don't have to, because God is love. That's the most talked about characteristic and my favorite thing. I love teaching this message compared to what we've been looking at in Revelation, where judgment is coming to doubt, and to talk about the love of God and how He loves us. It says God is love. Note, it doesn't say there in 1 John, love is God. There's a big difference. Now let me illustrate. It's the same difference as saying, "My dog is a girl," or "My girl is a dog." my girl's a dog could get you in big trouble. You see, God is love. You know what that means? It means that God's love has nothing to do with you. Other people may love you for what you do or because of what you do for them or how you look at them or how you appeal to them or how you influence them. But God doesn't love you because of you. God loves you, listen, understand this, because of Him. Because He is love. You and I cannot influence God's love. You can't do something so good that it will make God love you more than He loves you right now. And you can't do something so bad that it will make God love you less than He loves you right now. That's hard for us to compute, and yet that's the truth. We think, well, if I be good, if I try harder, if I do more Bible study, if I serve more faithfully, then God will love me more. No, you'll be more blessed because you open yourself to receive the blessings of God. But you'll never be more loved. You see, because He loves you, He is love. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. We read, I have loved you, God speaking, with an everlasting love. Psalm 89, verse 2 says, God's unfailing love lasts forever. You see, sometimes the love of people wears thin and wears out. But God's love never wears out. It never ends. It never fails. God loves you on your good days. And maybe you had a good day yesterday. God loves you on your bad days. Maybe you behaved like a heathen all day yesterday. God isn't going, oops, I don't love you anymore. If you're going to keep doing that, you're out, man. That is so foreign to the way we love one another many times, tragically. But God gives His love to us, and He wants us to grow. And that is what the grown-up Christmas is. That's what happens as we grow, as we get to know and understand God's love ourselves. God doesn't love you more today than He did yesterday. He doesn't love you any less today than He will tomorrow. He loves you as one child observed when he was asked in a Sunday school classroom about the love of God and how much does God love you. And this child said, to infinity and beyond. That's good theology for the love of God. It's going to continue. You see, and that's something that we need to lay hold of and continue to hold on to when the enemy lies and we get in this performance mentality to gauge where we're at with God, you see. When it comes to His love, He loves you. Every Christmas that comes is a reminder that you and I are in the love of God continually and that you can never go where God's love won't reach you. God's Spirit won't find you. Thirdly, not only does He have me on His list and in His love, but He offers me life eternally. You see, it says here that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Think about that a moment. I mean, the moment you came to that, the moment came when that little baby was laid in the manger 2,000 years ago. And here He is, as we looked at last time together, God incarnate, who came and was born that you and I might have His life. How? By receiving Him into your heart, by submitting your life and giving your life to Him. And the moment you do that, you have, as John says, eternal life. If you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross, today you sit here with a guarantee of life eternally, with no fear. Again, not something that you can earn. Not something that you can, you know, kind of push for position. You are given the moment you believe. Whosoever believeth on Him has eternal life. Think about this. In a few days, many of us, especially of us who have children and grandchildren and family members over, will wake up on Christmas morning to exchange gifts. You know, as we head into the living room and sit down around the tree and as we do so, sometimes it happens. There's a bit of a delay. Sometimes you order at the last minute on Amazon, and the guaranteed delivery falters and fails. Not your fault. It happens. And it doesn't show up. And so everybody's around the tree, and you, I got you a gift, but, well, it hasn't arrived yet. But it's supposed to be here tomorrow or something. We don't find ourselves regularly, hopefully, in the place where we go, well, I got you a gift and it'll be here 10 years from now. In 10 years, you can have that gift. The same is true with God. When we say yes to Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in Him, we immediately receive the gift of eternal life at that very moment. We don't have to wait. You're not waiting for eternal life. Guess what? You have, right now, as you sit there, eternal life guaranteed to you, you see, by God, and God cannot lie. You see, there are some people out there who, sadly, and if you're among those, I hope today to convince you of the truth of God's Word, they think that they have to wait till they die to know if they have eternal life, if they to know if they're going to heaven. They have kind of I hope I'm going to heaven. I've tried to be a good person. Well, you see, that is the idea that you are kind of earning it, that if you do enough good things. And John doesn't say anything about that here. As Jesus is speaking actually to Nicodemus, that's the context. He says, hey, whosoever believeth on Him immediately has life eternally. I hope that reality sets in. You don't have to wait to get eternal life. As a Christian, you have eternal life. And almost to back that up and to keep driving the point home, and John loves to do that, and God knows we need that. In 1 John, in one of his epistles, we read in chapter 5, verse 13, these things I have written to you. John says, I'm scrawling these things out by the Holy Spirit. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So, not so that you may guess or wonder or hope, that you may know. In other words, hey, I'm writing this so that you will live in the certainty and the reality of life eternally because of the grace and the love and the mercy of God. You see, being on God's Christmas list means that if you're willing, you see, you can immediately receive that gift. There's two statements back to back in John 5:24. Jesus speaking, John recording it for us, his words. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. John again, chapter 6, verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Hopefully, you know that eternal life means life eternally. It means you will never die, life endlessly. Though you die here move out of this tent on earth, this body, when that day comes and you take your last breath on earth, you take your first breath in heaven and are in the presence and the glory and the beauty of God for all eternity. No more lives torn apart. That wars would never start. God takes care of the healing of the broken heart. You see, eternal life doesn't begin when you die. It begins when you believe, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ. That's what it is to be on God's Christmas list. And the reality of that is because of what Jesus has done, we get to enjoy Christmas, the gift, every day. Every day. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Because Jesus Christ, that baby born, grew and died on that Easter Sunday. You see, He died rather on that Good Friday, and He rose again on that Easter Sunday, distinguishing Him and marking Him out from anyone who has ever lived, demonstrating His authority and power to forgive sins and to give life. You see, we are on God's Christmas list every day. Well, because Jesus, you talk about a gift that keeps on giving. He does. Keeps on giving grace and more grace. Giving us power and more power. Showing us love and mercy daily. Every morning I get in the shower. I'm reminded of the goodness and the grace of God. There are a lot of places on planet Earth. You probably, hopefully most of you, had a nice hot shower this morning. It was a cold day outside, you see, and that nice hot shower, and we take it for granted, nice hot shower, clean water, and just, you know, being in a warm home. And so often we go, well, I've worked hard. I earned this. Well, who gave you the ability to work, and who gave you the breath to breathe, and who gave you the life, and who gave you the job, and who gives you that paycheck? If you think it's your boss, you're wrong. It's the grace and the mercy and the goodness and the love of God. And He is so generous and so gracious, and He keeps on giving, because when I got out of the shower, guess what? I had clean clothes. And then when I put my clean clothes on and got in the car, I got in the car that has a heater. And I drove here. And I have the privilege, by the grace of God, the gift to be allowed by His mercy and in His love to have such a great body here of believers who love Jesus and pray for me and support the ministry here. The grace, the gift, the God who keeps on giving, providing me with all that I need and so much more. Bless me with a wonderful family, my immediate relatives, and then a great church family. The goodness of God, the gift of God, He keeps on giving. I'll close with something I read, pulled off the internet. Some of you may remember, probably few of you in this audience, but I'm sure you can, YouTube it if you'd like. But there was a guy named Jack Benny. You younger people are going, Benny and the Jets? No, that's still some older people. But Jack Benny, when he met his future wife Mary for the first time, he was so shy and intimidated that he couldn't even ask her out. But as it would, time would tell, they were eventually married. When Jack Benny died, the day after his funeral, the doorbell rang at his home, where his wife was there in grief. It was the delivery man from the florist shop. And there he was, and he says, "I have this delivery for Mrs. Benny." And she looked surprised. The man said, "Well, you didn't know this, but Mr. Benny has made arrangements for you to receive a rose every day for the rest of your life." Google it. I always, when I read these stories, I go, "Is this true?" So you want to check your sources out. And guess what? What a thought for all you ladies who are going, "Oh, honey." And the men are going, "That costs too much. That's ridiculous. What a waste of money. Well, make sure you have food on the table. Who cares about a stinking rose?" But the expression of love and the thoughtfulness of continuing to remind his wife of his love for her. That's what Jesus, our groom, does for us, his wife, the church. Daily, you see, he reminds us of his love and his grace as we open his word. You see, and he speaks to our hearts. It's that intimacy, it's that relationship, it's that love that God is, that's unconditional, that continues to come your way. Now here's the question. What if Mrs. Benny goes, "I don't want that rose. Get out of here. Get it away from me." Well, the problem is it's already set to be delivered. She can push against it, but the guy who owns the floral shop is being paid, and his payment comes as a result of his delivering that rose. Yeah, she can leave them on the doorstep, but they'll just stack up. The reminder will grow bigger as the days grow on. You see, in the same way, many people, God offers the rose of His love, of His life, of His forgiveness, of His mercy and grace. And many people, just as He stands at the door and knocks, the delivery boy, the Holy Spirit knocking at the door of your heart. And he says, "Hey, if you open the door, I'll come in." He wants to bring into your life the blessing and the joy and the peace and the forgiveness and the power to change through a relationship with Jesus. Your problem isn't going to be fixed by any help of any man, any help of any finances. The problem that we all have is sin, and the only way to fix that sin is to come to the Savior who died and made payment for that sin. Don't allow the grace of God to stack up because it's judgment against you. You see, it's evidence of refusing God's love day after day after day. And if you do so one day, God will turn you over and say, "That's all. I'm done. I've knocked. You don't want anything to do with me." Then, guess what? I'm backing off. But that day isn't today. Today you have opportunity. If you're not sure your sin is forgiven today, if you don't have that hope of heaven, the lights that you see when you drive down the street on the houses, a reminder that the light came into the dark world, Jesus Christ, to give us life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You for the work and the ministry of Your Holy Spirit to speak to us and to teach us, Lord, and to convict us. Lord, I pray for us as believers. Verses that we know, we can quote them, and sometimes familiarity can lead to kind of a carelessness or not really meditating or pondering what these things mean. And God, I pray today that this time is a reminder of Your grace and Your faithfulness and Your love for us. And Lord, how You love those who are in the world, those who are opposed to You. And God, may we show that same kind of love as we are going to be gathering with family here, many of us, family and friends. And Lord, I pray that there might be, as there might be, some among that family, among those friends who are hard to love. In fact, Lord, without Your love, it's impossible. But God, through Christ, we can do all things. So God, may You teach us. May You fill us afresh with the power of Your Spirit, that we might be those who, like You, show love to the unlovely. Show grace to those who perhaps haven't lived up to what we think they should. And Lord, that we might be those who are just have Your heart, Lord. And that we might share the most important gift this Christmas with those that we come in contact with, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, You. And Lord, I pray if there's any today that have not yet given their lives to You, that You would draw them to Yourself today. They would not walk out of this door making an excuse, but they would walk out of this door changed men and women with their sins forgiven, and today have the hope and the certainty that they're going to heaven and have life eternally. God, may they come and receive that gift of a relationship with Christ in Jesus' name.